here. Happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, all of that. Hopefully you had a good Christmas. We're going to go to the Word of God. Not going to keep you long. I know you have the ham in the oven. You got to get back. Pig feet is always a favorite for New Year's. Black eyed peas, all that. I know the kitchens are humming. We're in the Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter. Just going to look at two verses and just lift up one or two thoughts out of it. Verses 51 and 52. Going to add to the witness out of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 11, 26. So we're going New and Old Testament this morning. Both familiar passages. How everybody looking? Everybody in good shape? You have that? Luke 2 and 51. Then Deuteronomy 11 and 26. Amen. We're in good shape. They got it up on the big board for you there. Luke 2 and 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. Amen. Let's jump over into the Old Testament. 11 and 26. Just going to read two or three verses. It says, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing is this: if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you today, and the curse is this: if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way after other gods, which you have not known." It's more to that, but that's all we need. So I give you two choices today, a blessing and a curse. And both are predicated on your obedience. There it is. There it is. Hey, so what I want to talk about today, just the, I don't know if it's a bedtime story or Christmas story or whatever, but you know how it goes. It's always, 'twas the night before Christmas. So my subject is 'twas the day after Christmas. I need a new church. I gave y'all the Eve on Christmas Eve. Y'all didn't do nothing with that. Now I'm giving you 'twas the day after Christmas. And what I want to talk about, I'm playing around with the thing, but I actually want to talk about something that's serious, that has a serious component to. And I think up there I called it the post-holiday blues. The reality is, if you Google this stuff, this is a real condition. You know, we know it from, oh, yeah, the post-holiday. But as I was doing some research, studying, I Googled this thing. I mean, WebMD got stuff out there. I mean, this is a thing. It can lead to a state of depression coming off the high of the holidays, family, celebration, food, festive, and then it's like you fall off a cliff. And some people don't make it back up. You follow what I'm saying? So there is a seriousness to this, and though we play with the words and kind of make light of it, but there is a serious concern here, and I want to address it not from a medical perspective, but I want to address it from a spiritual perspective. Amen? Our Father and our God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to assemble ourselves together again in your house, in and under your name, amongst and with your people. We have come and made central the Word of God. We ask of you today the question that has been asked age and age and age upon age. And that is simply this. Is there any word from the Lord? If we be your children, if we are loved by and how you say we are loved by you, speak to us this day, this hour, out of your holy word. And all of God's people said amen, amen, and amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. You've been waiting all month, or maybe for some all year, for this very moment, for this very season. And now that the gifts have been unwrapped, the songs have been sung, and the cookies have been baked and eaten, the time has come to pack up the holiday mementos and finally move on. But for some, moving on is simply not as easy as it sounds. The holiday season is an emotional roller coaster, and stepping off at the end can leave you with a case of psychological whiplash. Whether it's caused by feelings of guilt or from overindulgence or even unmet expectations, or for some a return to loneliness, depression after the holidays is a very real and common condition. So common, in fact, that there is even a name for it, and some medical professionals have dubbed it the post-holiday blues. Feelings of sadness, guilt, anger can kick off genuine symptoms of depression, ranging from mild unhappiness to more troublesome symptoms such as insomnia or irritability or an inability to eat or to go the other way or overeat. Sometimes there can be difficulty in concentration. There can be an increase in fatigue and or anxiety. But you don't have to let the holiday blues get you down. And here's how you can survive the holiday blues and get back on track for the new year. Going back to the Christmas scene laid out for us here in Luke, but also in Matthew, can you imagine how Joseph, Mary, and even Jesus must have felt after the first Christmas? During the first Christmas, they had experienced conversations with angels. During the first Christmas, they had visits from angels in their dreams. During the first Christmas, they experienced visits to their home from wise men who came from the east and brought expensive gifts and treasures. Also during their first Christmas, they also had shepherds come in from the field and hang out at their own house. After the first Christmas, they went to church the next Sunday, for them being Jews, the Sabbath. And on their way in, they experienced prophecies from both Simeon and Anna. How do you recover from a Christmas like that? How do you avoid, we talk about it in contemporary times, but how did Mary and Joseph, how does even Jesus even finding himself in a new atmosphere, a new world now contained in a human flesh, go from this high off of the first week of his birth, frankincense, myrrh, gold, wise men, and prophecies about his life and what he's going to be, and how do you come off of that? How do you get into some kind of normal groove after that when you have been lauded and praised and celebrated to such a high degree? Well, I'm glad you asked. Luke has recorded for us in these two simple verses how, in fact, Jesus avoided the holiday blues. Verse 51 is simple. It says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things hidden in her heart. I want to lift up one of the words out of this text. It's the word subject. He went down and was subject to them. In a Greek translation, that the word closely related to us in our English language vocabulary is the word obedient. Went down to Nazareth, and he became obedient to them. And that word obedient, drawn out of the word obey, it means to comply with or to become submissive to authority. So he has the first Christmas. He's got a lot going on in his life. This is picking up the story a little bit after that. But he's going back home now. There's no more wise men, no more gold, no more frankincense, no more heavenly choirs lauding you in the midnight sky. Now is back to work in Nazareth. Now it's back to the Monday grind. Now it's back to get up and getting it. Now you dad's got to go to work, mom's got to prepare, and you son got to get up and get it. So how do you avoid the holiday blues and try to make this transition back to a normal life? Jesus did it by becoming subject. Jesus didn't call on any divine power. He didn't call on any omniscience or anything out of his divine attributes. But the Bible said he became subject for us, meaning obedient to those that had authority over his life. We read it in our reading. We added to the witness out of the Old Testament. And Moses tells the people of Israel, he said, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And the blessing is this, is that if you obey the commandments of the Lord, which I have commanded. If you notice what I like about this, he never defines the blessing. This is what he said. I set before you a blessing and a curse. He said, a blessing if you obey. Okay, if I obey, what happens? He doesn't say anything. He said, which I have commanded you to this day. But he said, the curse is this, if you do not obey. And then he does elaborate, because the blessing is simply in obeying. It is in obeying that you captivate your mind and you pull it out of the potential slippery slope of depression. Some people fall. You heard the commercial. The old lady says, I've fallen and I can't get up. And I'm trying to tell my church how to avoid the holiday blues is that the potential of falling is real. The potential of going down a slippery slope is real. And if it's not the post-holiday blues, sometimes it can be the New Year blues. Pastor, what's the New Year blues? New Year blues is bad news at the beginning of the year. All it takes is one good Friday to go into the office and get a slip of what? Bad news. They didn't fire you before the holidays because they called themselves being compassionate. So they waited for the new year to tell you we got some layoffs coming. They waited till the new year to say, hey, we got to change some things around. And unfortunately, your life, your lifestyle is going to be affected by it. So whether you're coming off the high of the holiday blues or whether you become a victim of the new year blues, there is always a possibility that things can change in your life overnight. And I'm just trying to suggest one of the ways to avoid spiraling down, one of the ways to avoid falling and being unable to get yourself up emotionally or spiritually or even getting your mind set back right, is simply to obey the Word of God. Touch somebody and say, just obey the Word of God. All year long, you've been reading the Word of God. All year long, you've been studying the Word of God. All year long, every Sunday, you've been hearing the Word of God. But I'm telling you, if you're going to avoid the holiday blues, the real key is starting to do what the Word of God says to do. Find somebody and tell them, just do it. This is what James says to us. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because when you hear and fail to obey, look what James says, you only deceive yourself. You never experience the real power of God. Reading the Word of God is good. Hearing the Word of God is good. But it's better to be a doer, is to take what it says and put it into action. Touch somebody and say, it's time to go into action. Because I need the Word of God to start ordering my steps. I need the Word of God to start giving direction to my life. I need the Word of God to tell me how I'm going to face tomorrow. I need the Word of God to give me a forecast for my new year. I need the Word of God to give me a blueprint of what I need to build. I need the Word of God to hold my marriage another year. I need the Word of God to help me raise my kids. I need the Word of God to help me manage my... And I'm telling you, the key to it is you got to learn to obey. Psychology Today gave 10 steps to avoid the holiday blues. WebMD gave 5 steps to avoid the holiday blues. CNN gave 4 steps to avoid the holiday blues. But God has given us only one step to avoid the holiday blues. And it is this. It is obey the Word of God. Touch somebody and say, obey the Word. I know you know the Word. I know you got the Word. You got your fancy iPad. You got your fancy iPhone. All of your Bible apps. But it don't mean nothing. It won't help you if you don't obey the Word of God. I heard the songwriter say, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to obey. Because if you don't obey, you may fall down and not be able to get back up. It is through your obedience that God transfers a blessing to your life. And I tell you, in the Old Testament reading, they didn't really elaborate on the blessing. But the New Testament writer picks it up, and he gives us an insight. Look at verse 52. Now, verse 51, he commits to obeying those with authority. Verse 52, and Jesus increased wisdom, stature, favor, both with God and with men. So here it is. Let me give you to you so we can get out of here. The blessing that is tied to obedience is increase. When you commit your life, your way and your heart to obeying the Word of God, just like the Son of God, the Bible said, then God began to transfer a blessing to his Son. And the blessing was that he began to increase. I wish I had a better church. Let me tell you, he began to obey. And when he began to obey, God began to send a blessing from the heavenly realm into the earthly realm. And he sent it to his Son because he was obedient. And the Bible said that this was the blessing, that Jesus began to increase wisdom, stature, and favor with God. Let me take a quick CNN poll. In this new year, how many want increase? Some area of your life, some aspect of your health, your mental state, your financial state. You want a little increase. Listen, I'm giving you the key today. Your increase is tied to your obedience to the Word of God. Now look, I can tell you don't believe me by the way you react. And I can't help you any more than what I'm doing. All I can tell you is this. Try it and see if it will work for you. I don't know about you, but I'm scared of the holiday blues. I don't know about you. I don't want to suffer a New Year's setback. So I'm going to try the Word of God. I didn't try it last year. I got tired in the winter. I quit reading in the spring. By the summer, I was doing my own thing. But this year, like Jesus, I'm going to try the Word of God. I'm going to do what He asked me to do. I'm going to say what He asked me to say, because I need an increase in my life. Somebody say yes. Touch three people and say, I need an increase. No. You got to get up and walk around on this. Go find somebody. Say, look, man, I need an increase. All last year, I kept going down. My stock portfolio is down. My relationships are down. But this year, God has promised to send me an increase. He's promised to send me an increase. That's what I want. That's what I need. I need an increase. I need more love. I need more joy. I need more peace. I need an increase. Help me, Lord. I need. That's what I want. That's what I need. In my body, in my mind, in my spirit, I need an increase. Father, bless me today. Father, bless my house. Bless my children. Send your increase. And if you do it God's way, there'll be no sweat to it. There's no denying all of us want increase. But all too often we go into the new year with our own plan, own strategy, own method for increasing ourselves. Jesus said in His Word, He said, cast all your cares. He said, you put that weight on me. He said, my shoulders are big enough to carry it. And while I carry your burden and you transfer the weight to me, he said, when you do that, that lightens the load on you. And now you'll be able to give me a praise. Now you'll be able to get on your knees and pray. Now you'll be able. He says, if you want the blessing, he says, make the transfer. That's how you get the blessing. You got to transfer all of that onto him and say, Lord, just give me your word. And I will trust it and I will obey it. That means in 2019, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to fool around, not this year. I done fooled around enough years of my life. I'm so far behind where I want to be and where I believe God would want to position me. Enough of that. Next year I turn 50. 49 years of trying to do it my own way. Trying to do it the way the academic institution said to do it. Trying to do it the way the financial institution said to do it. Trying to do it the way all of my friends and buddies, the way they said I should do it. But this year I'm going to try God. I'm going to stop preaching the word. I'm going to start doing the word. I'm going to stop being a hearer only. But I'm going to start doing some of this stuff myself and see if God won't transfer a blessing into my life, the life of my family. There's so much more at stake now. When I was 20 and 25, I could afford to be foolish because it was nobody but me. You turn 50, now you got a companion. Now you got children. Grandchildren are in the picture now. People are depending on you now. You don't have the time to waste another year going around the same old tree. And just so you don't have to go to work and end the year and say, you know what, the whole year went by. My pastor never did anything for me. You can't do it. Can't do it. Whether you got the day off tomorrow or not, you can tell somebody, hey, my pastor gave me the secret. He gave me the key to David. He told me all I have to do in the new year is obey the word of God. And I got a witness. The witness said he increased his son. Am I not a son? Did he not give us power to become the sons of God? Watch this. Ladies included. If it wasn't the holidays, I worked that for you. It's great to be a daughter, but it's better to be a son. Ladies included. I have to work that out one time. But all ladies, you want to be a son because the anointing is on the son and God has gifted you to, even in spite of your gender, to become a son of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What are we going to do, church? That's what we can do. And isn't it funny how simple it is? Everybody wants a secret formula. Everybody wants to write the newest code. Everybody wants the greatest app. And God said, all you have to do, he said, trust and obey. And then he said, I will increase you. Wisdom. That, you know what that means? That means when God gives you godly wisdom, you begin to see and know other things that other people do not. That's what godly wisdom is. The Bible says of this, of the wisdom of God, he says, if the princes of this world knew, if they only knew, they would have never crucified the Lord. Do you know what he was saying? When they killed Jesus, they advanced God's plan. They helped God win the devil. He literally helped God get the victory. Why? The writer said because of hidden wisdom. There was stuff the devil didn't know. And when he thought he was killing Jesus, all he was doing. So you got with, then you got stature. That stature refers to his physical stature, his physical body, his physical well-being. Raise your hand if you could be healthier in the new year. You decide if you want to obey. You make your own choice. The Bible said because he obeyed, God blessed his stature, his physical body. So that he could do what God wanted him to do in his body. How many wish you could do more for Christ? But you need your body to do it. Maybe you didn't realize we're not spirits. No ghost in here today. Everything in here is flesh and bones. And so we need physical strength. And did he not save the best for last? Favor with God and man. How many people realize that favor is actually better than money? It's actually better than money. If someone gives you money and you spend it, that's it. Transaction over. You're back to zero. But when the favor of God is on you, that means as people give and you expend, God causes them to what? Give again. That, it's better. Don't you know God could do one favor for you and turn your whole life upside down? Stand up, stand up. We're finished. So we've got the favor of God. And if that's not enough, he says, favor with men. And I'm just going to throw this out there. You may or may not have experienced this.